From the Game Shark to CFW, hacking Pokemon into your save file has been around since the dawn of the Game Boy. It was always a fun way to get strong Pokemon that you shouldn't have had access to when you were a kid. I've done it, you might have done it, and competitive players certainly do it too. It doesn't really harm anyone if you just use them in your single player journey or against friends, but it does violate a rule within the Pokemon Video Game Championships, which prohibits the use of illegitimately obtained Pokemon. This has led to a lot of controversy within the community, since many top competitive players, including world champions, have been caught for using such illegally obtained Pokemon. Going as far back to the 2014 Championships infamous Dream Ball Aegislash, to the disaster at the 2023 World Championships at Yokohama. Due to this, there have been argument after argument in the community, one side arguing that gen Pokemon are completely identical to non-gen Pokemon and have no competitive advantage, and therefore are okay, and the other saying that because it is stated explicitly in the rules that you cannot use gen Pokemon, it is not only wrong because it violates the rules, but also is unfair to those who legitimately get their Pokemon. This video will present both sides of this issue in the goal of getting to the honest truth of the matter, looking over details that are often ignored. I'll start with the anti-genning side, since there's less content to cover as it's a pretty simple stance. Genning violates the rules, and can provide some unfair advantage. It is as simple as that. Due to this, people shouldn't gen, and those who do are being unfair to those who put in the time to get their teams legitimately, as they are not able to just skip the process by violating the rules. On the other side of the argument, people who are in favor of genning argue that because the Pokemon created from genning are identical to those that are not, in terms of stats, moves, and abilities, genning is just a time saver, and some people have busy lives and can't dedicate the time to breed or catch their Pokemon, or they may not have access to the games they came from, and that these hurdles are extremely archaic when it comes to playing competitive Pokemon, and since there are no competitive advantage gained from genning, it is perfectly fine and should be a non-issue even if it technically violates the rules. So how do these arguments stand? Are legitimate players right in their protests against genning players, or does genning truly provide no material advantage? Well, let's take a look. Since anti-genning players argue that because it is against the rules to use hacked Pokemon, and see what action has been taken against the practice. In the 2013 World Championships, a player was caught using a hacked Magmar after the tournament. One of the most infamous examples was 2014, where a player was caught using a Dream Ball Aegislash, a combination that was impossible at the time. And there was a Galarian Moltres used by the winning player of the Players' Cup 2 that was hacked. So what action did TPCI take after these discoveries were made? Well, they took none. TPCI has never taken any action against these players, even after they were caught using hacked illegitimate Pokemon. It was basically unofficial policy to allow them to be used in tournament, so despite it being against the rules, if it was never enforced, was it really a big violation? It didn't affect the outcome of those battles, right? And TBCI didn't care, so was it really all that bad? Nevertheless, it was a violation of the rules. And in 2023, an incident would take place that would be remembered across the VGC scene, but more on that later. Though even if the rule were enforced, if it doesn't provide a competitive advantage and the Pokemon are identical to the ones obtained in the game, would it really matter if players gen? But that's the thing. People who gen always say that it doesn't give a competitive advantage over legitimate players. But is that actually true? While Pokemon obtained through hacking can be identical to ones obtained through legitimate means, this has not always been true. And even if they are, they are usually always optimized to the greatest level, which for many Pokemon is not feasible due to the endless time sink required to obtain them. Let me give you a few examples. In 2013, a player who would later win the Pokemon World Championships would first use Magmar, an odd pick to say the least, but not a Pokemon without merit. This Magmar utilized Eviolite, an item that boosts the user's defensive stats to help it soak up attacks. However, what was really interesting about this Magmar was its move Follow Me, an extremely powerful support move that redirects all single target attacks to the user, drawing attention away from its partner, which, combined with Magmar's Flame Body, heavily disrupts the opponent. It's a move that is in very short supply as few Pokemon can learn it. Magmar is one of those few Pokemon, but at the time, it could only learn it in a very peculiar way. To have Follow Me in its moveset, Magmar must be obtained through Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness. No other Magmar could have the move, not through breeding and not through any other game. So what makes this Magmar hacked? Pokemon from lower generations were perfectly legal for VGC during Generation 5. Well, as soon as you look at its original trainer, the first sight of hacking is apparent. The Magmar's original trainer is a female trainer named Merudu. This is where our first problem arises. A female trainer cannot capture a Magmar in Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, because you do not have the choice of gender in that game. You must play as the male protagonist Michael, so this is already an impossible Magmar. So the rules have already been violated here, but that is not the most important part. It's the true unfair advantage gained by the player's hacked Magmar that is the real issue that affects the integrity of the game. This Magmar has this stat spread. Perfect IVs and all stats except for attack, which is at a humble 12. So what's the issue here? It's not impossible to get a very good Pokemon in XD Heal of Darkness, right? It would just take some time and effort. Wrong. This Magmar is impossible to obtain in the game. It is superior to any other truly possible and legitimately obtained Magmar. This is because of the way XD Gale of Darkness determines a Pokemon's stats. All possible IV values for many Pokemon are affected by the non-shadow Pokemon you have in your party. It restricts them in something called a shadow lock. The best possible Magmar IVs are shown here, and these are all worse than this player's Magmar. The illegal Magmar is faster than both legit Magmars, has better defense than both of them, has lower attack, meaning it takes less damage from foul play and confusion, and does not have to trade HP for special attack, as they are both perfect. These are small but very consequential advantages. Every stat point matters in a game like Pokemon. They can be the deciding factor of whether you go first or second, whether your Pokemon survives, or whether your Pokemon knocks out your opponents. Now, did this player only win because of these advantages? No, of course not. He's an excellent player, to say the least. But the fact stands that he did have an unfair advantage with his Magmar against legitimate players, as it was impossible for them to even get such a Magmar to begin with, not to mention the time sink needed to get one. This is a clear-cut example of hacking affecting the integrity of competition. There is no other way to slice this other than hacking gave this player an advantage here. Did he hack it himself? Did a friend of his do it? Well, we don't know, so please do not harass any of the players involved, as it is possible they are ignorant to these facts, and it's really not productive for anyone to do this over 12 years after the fact. Okay, but that was over a decade ago. And that's not a scenario that can happen in modern Pokemon games. And you'd be right on that. So I'll give you an example more relevant to modern play. Trick Room in VGC is an incredibly popular strategy, flipping speed relations on their head. The Pokemon that make use of Trick Room often want 0 speed IVs, and if they're special attackers, 0 attack IVs as well. Generally, this isn't an issue because you can just breed these Pokemon pretty easily. But there are some cases where this isn't the case. One of such cases is the Moon Pokemon, Lunala, a ghost psychic type that primarily uses its special attacking stat and often runs Trick Room. Many players need a Lunala with 0 attack stat and a low speed stat. This is because for many Lunala, it is integral that it underspeeds opponents in Trick Room and minimize damage taken by foul play, a dark type move that is super effective against Lunala, hitting it for 4 times super effective damage. The attack IV on Lunala needs to be as low as possible, as it can mean the difference between being KO'd by foul play and surviving to use another move. Foul play isn't the rarest move either, it's an option many Pokemon have at their disposal, even if they're passive otherwise. That ability to survive foul play is critical for how Lunala plays, and besides, taking less damage is always better. There's also the low speed IV Lunala likes. While it doesn't necessarily always have to be 0, it does have to be a very specific number, 0 and 1 most commonly, but there have been other speed stats like 7 used in the past. These stats are used by Lunala so it can underspeed certain opponents in the Trick Room that it sets. And if your Pokemon are underspeeding the opponents in Trick Room, there's really no reason to set it to begin with. So you can imagine why it's important for a Lunala to have a low speed stat as well as a 0 attack stat. But unlike most Pokemon, getting a Lunala with these specific stats was incredibly difficult. This is because of its status as a legendary Pokemon, meaning you cannot simply breed a Cosmog with 0 attack and speed passed down by its parents. So you need to encounter Lunala or Cosmog every time you want to try for these stats. But why is that such a big deal? I mean, just reset the game a few times. The problem is you're rolling dice that are loaded against you. You need to roll 2 stats to be exactly what you want them to be, 0 or 1 if you want the slowest and lowest attack Lunala at level 50, so 2, 2, and 31 chances at the same time. But this gets worse when you also have to deal with the 3 random perfect IVs the Pokemon will have, which, if they hit attack or speed, it's cooked. You already have a 1 in 250 chance of getting the Lunala you want, but with this extra bit of RNG, it takes far longer than that, and it's honestly very disheartening to spend this much time on one single Pokemon. That brings me to my next point. It's certainly possible that you can get this Lunala legitimately, but it will take a long time if you have normal luck, but if you're unlucky, it might feel like you'll never be able to get it at all, and it is possible that you might not, at least not in time for an event that's coming up. And that creates a massive problem. If you decide on a team too close to an event, or just get unlucky enough, you may just be at a disadvantage because you don't have the perfect Lunala, because you couldn't get it in time. This scenario isn't something niche either. It's happened to me and many people I know as well. And of course, this isn't even considering players who had already caught the Pokemon in their normal playthrough. This is something a person who gens Pokemon never has to worry about or even consider when team building. While it is possible for players to get these Pokemon legitimately, it's often excruciating and requires some luck to do so, and that can impact your team building options. Though Lunala in Scarlet and Violet can be encountered without the three perfect IVs, so this is more of an issue that existed in Gen 8 and Gen 7, though that's not to say the current generation doesn't have its own problem Pokemon. For example, there's Ursaluna Bloodmoon, another special attacker that enjoys Trick Room. He wants a similar stat spread to Lunala, and while he doesn't take super effective damage from foul play, taking less is still always an advantage. It similarly faces the three perfect IV resetting issue I explained before. There's also Cresselia, who like Lunala does take super effective damage from foul play, and it faces the same challenges Ursaluna does when getting it, though with the caveat that if you own Gen 4 or 5, you don't have to deal with the three perfect IVs. Those games are over a decade old though, and very pricey, so that's not really an option for many players. But the most devilish Pokemon is the one known as Enamorous Therian, a slow special attacking fairy flying type that also similarly takes advantage of Trick Room. You might say that you could opt out of the zero attack since foul play is doing negligible damage at that point due to its resistance. The issue though lies more in how you actually try for a slow Enamorous. As you may know, Enamorous can only be obtained in Pokemon Legends Arceus, and you can only get one per save file, so you just save and reset your game before catching it, right? Wrong. Because of the way stats work in Legends Arceus, you can only check Enamorous' IVs in Pokemon Home. So every attempt at a slow Enamorous necessitates you play Legends Arceus, and while it is a fun game, don't get me wrong, but playing it that many times may as well be impossible if you are not super lucky, and it also has that 3 perfect IV problem from before, by the way. Not to boast, I do have a slow Enamorous. It's not 0 or 1, but it is slow enough. But I got lucky. The average player isn't, and it's still not optimal. The examples I gave you before were definitely a pain and something you'd have to dedicate an unreasonable amount of time and effort to get, but not as seemingly impossible as Enamorous here. While Enamorous isn't the most popular Pokemon in VGC, it's certainly a strong Pokemon and could see usage, but if you don't hack the game, you may as well not have access to it, so many players don't even try. This Pokemon is effectively only available to even be thought about being used by players who do gen their Pokemon. This is a clear advantage that hacking players have, even ignoring the Cresselia, Ursaluna, and Lunala examples from before. Another advantage genning gives players is the ability to switch teams quickly. It does take time to prepare a Pokemon for battle, and because genning allows you to skip that step, it does enable players to switch their teams very quickly. For example, if you see a team suddenly surge in popularity right before an event, you can make an adjustment to your team even just right before the deadline, something that a non-genning player would struggle immensely to do. It's not a rare situation to see people switching their teams that close to an event's deadline. All of these issues and arguments that both the pro-hacking crowd and anti-hacking crowd would make would all converge and manifest themselves at the World Championships in 2023. The Pokemon World Championships, the crown jewel of the VGC scene. In 2023, this event took place in Yokohama, Japan, and would be the first event of the new rule set, Regulation D. These rules would differ from previous rule sets as they would allow Pokemon from other games to be used in the competition. So Pokemon from Sword and Shield, like Urshifu, or Legends Arceus, like Ursaluna, would be allowed, among many others. While many thought the new Pokemon would bring in a new, nice breath of fresh air into the game, others thought it would do the opposite. Undeniably though, there was a new issue with this regulation. You could not get all the new Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet. Previous regulations just used Pokemon from the game, and even if they're a version exclusive, you could easily trade for them. This was not the case for Regulation D. For Ursaluna, you had to have a copy of Legends Arceus. For Urshifu, you needed a copy of Sword and Shield, and the DLC. For many players, this made it very difficult to obtain these Pokemon, as they did not have these games because they either came back to the game with Scarlet and Violet, or these games were their introduction to VGC in general. This meant a lot of players were at a disadvantage since they couldn't use some of the strongest Pokemon in the format. So this meant they had three options: buy the games they didn't have and play through them all, trade for the Pokemon, or gen them. But there was another troubling thing about this event. The Pokemon company sent out an email warning players not to use Pokemon provided by other people, including through trades, as the hack check would be stricter for this event and you could end up with a hacked Pokemon if you did. If players were caught using a hacked Pokemon, they'd face a penalty of losing their Pokemon, a game loss, and potentially a DQ if they lost enough of their Pokemon. So players that only owned Scarlet or Violet were caught in a very tricky situation. Trading was discouraged, they didn't own the older games either, so what were they to do? These Pokemon were strong. You would be at a heavy disadvantage if you didn't have them. They could spend up to $210 for two games plus DLC they didn't own, plus the other Pokemon Scarlet and Violet game if they only had one and needed an exclusive for the other. or they could risk trading or genning. Many players decided against genning for this tournament because of this, but some faced more difficulties in obtaining these Pokemon, and because of this, they decided to risk genning them instead of spending the money on the older games and playing through them. Unfortunately for them, the hack check was much stronger than it was before, and many people lost Pokemon or were disqualified from the competition because of this. This obviously sparked controversy within the community. Being DQ'd this way felt really bad, as this hack check was new for Worlds after an entire season of play, especially with a new rule set that thrusted on Pokemon that could not be obtained within Scarlet and Violet onto players, and the disqualified players expressed their frustrations. To this, many people responded with, well, you were warned about the hack check and you decided to hack anyways. Which, I guess is true. You probably shouldn't have brought Gendemons to a tournament that they said they were going to have stronger hack checks at. But at the same time, some players only really had this option. It was the first time this rule had been enforced in this manner. While the circumstances do suck, it is a rule that they do have the right to enforce. And they did at least give a warning. So you weren't completely blindsided by this. Even so, this sudden enforcement feels really bad still, as Pokemon's a game about trading. Players having to worry about whether the Pokemon you traded with your friends being hacked isn't a good thing. It's not your fault if you traded for an exclusive that was hacked after all, but you'd face the consequences all the same. These genning checks would also continue beyond this tournament as well. Oh yeah, the winner of this tournament used a hacked Amoongus anyway, so yeah, good job Pokemon Company. Again, don't harass any of the players who are caught using hacked Pokemon. It's not productive to do so, and I assure you they've already faced backlash. It is just Pokemon after all. Yes, rules were violated, but you would also be violating the rules if you harassed them. So really, don't do that. While genning Pokemon often doesn't give players an advantage in battle, that has not always been the case, nor is it always the case. There are specific Pokemon that genning would give you an advantage for. Even if they are technically obtainable in the game, they may not be practically, and it also gives you the advantage of being able to change your team last minute, something all players cannot do. While most cases of genning may not provide an advantage, it is dishonest to say that it doesn't at all because of this, in my opinion. It is something against the rules, so while it may feel bad to get DQ'd for this, it is absolutely the Pokemon Company's right to do so. That being said, there is a much greater issue that lies beneath the surface of this controversy. Why can genning give an advantage to players, and why do players even gen in the first place? Players shouldn't have to go through these lengths to get the Pokemon they want. You shouldn't have to spend hours resetting for one Pokemon that you might not even get. You shouldn't have to buy another game other than the one that you're playing to have access to the strongest Pokemon. That is something that is clearly pay to win. This shouldn't be an issue in the first place. Players shouldn't feel pressured to gen or spend $60 to $90 on another game that they only want one or two Pokemon from. The great issue isn't genning, it's accessibility. There really shouldn't be any advantage gained from genning, and if there is, that means there's a great flaw from the game. It means there's some Pokemon so difficult to obtain that not every player will have access to it, and that should never be the case, and the game must be changed in order to account for this. Hopefully Pokemon Champions will. While it is the Pokemon Company's right to DQ players for hacked Pokemon, it creates an unintended consequence for players that play legitimately. They now have to question all of their traded Pokemon too. For a series that originally prioritized trading with your friends over battling, I believe this to be a great blunder. Players shouldn't have to be scared about trading with others to get their Pokemon. Sure, the Pokemon Company has the right to DQ players if they are caught with hacked Pokemon, but is it worth sacrificing this aspect of the series for it? Is it worth making people question whether their Pokemon is hacked or not, or even refrain from trading with their friends because of it? I personally believe this not to be the case. But what do you think? Do you agree with my conclusions? Perhaps you disagree and think I'm an idiot. I would love to hear your thoughts in the comments below. If you enjoyed the video, I would appreciate it if you subscribed and left a like. It really helps channels like mine that are really small. Thank you for watching, and until next time, see ya.